Hi, this is Beth Joan Shaw with Spirit of Success, and welcome to First Things First, a weekly devotional for businesswomen who desire God's guidance as we seek to honor Him with our businesses. We meet by teleconference each week on Monday morning to hear a word from the Lord and to encourage each other in prayer. So, this being Super Bowl Monday, I wonder how was your Super Bowl Sunday? Did you watch the Super Bowl? You know, surveys show that 49% of Americans watch the game. That's like almost half of all Americans watch the Super Bowl. It is the most watched event of the year. And if you're among the 49% who might have watched the Super Bowl, well, you probably watched for more than just the actual game. You know, there have been surveys conducted to find out why people actually watch the Super Bowl. Now, of the 49% who say they watch, only 57% of them say they watch because of the game itself. But the other reasons that people watch, well, in the survey they found that 52% watch because of commercials, which is hilarious because don't we try to avoid commercials the rest of the year? Well, anyway, 51% were watching mainly to see the halftime show. I don't know, call it my age or PTSD from previous halftime wardrobe malfunctions, but I'm not motivated to watch because of the halftime show. Now, I do agree with the 48% in the survey who say they watch because they enjoy the food and snacks that define many Super Bowl celebrations. It was just my hubby and me, but yeah, we had some snacks. But you know what people may not initially consider as a reason to watch, yet becomes a huge motivating factor to stay tuned in throughout the game, is to see if a compelling storyline emerges. Will there be a hero who emerges, who becomes what we didn't know we wanted but can't stop talking about after the game? Yes, we want to see a hero. We Americans still love a compelling story of triumph over tragedy. Not just in the Super Bowl, but in life. And when we find one, we want to celebrate it. Now, we may not have found a hero yesterday, but we do find one in the pages of Joshua chapter 2. Our hero here is actually a heroine, a woman named Rahab. Her story is the epitome of triumph over tragedy. We're celebrating. Now, if you've been following along in our study of Joshua, you know that God gave Joshua the commissioning to lead his people into the promised land after Moses died. The people had been wandering in the wilderness for 40 years because of previous unbelief that God would be true to his promise to be with them. Well, the 40 years is now over. Moses has died. And now it's time to move into the promised land. The challenges, however, that caused the lack of faith 40 years earlier, well, they were still there, namely the Canaanites. The Canaanites were living in the land that God promised to his people, and the Canaanites had no right to it. And they, unfortunately, had become a detestable people in God's eyes because of their rebellious ways and their horrifically sinful practices. God found not one of them was redeemable. Unlike in the days of Noah or the days of Abraham, when God found at least one man and his family whom he could rebuild a nation from, when it came to the Canaanites, God found them to be so evil that not one person was redeemable. So God told Joshua to destroy them all. God did not want to risk having a remnant that could corrupt his chosen people. Except, that is, for Rahab. Rahab lived in the city of Jericho, a walled, fortified, huge Canaanite city that was just on the other side of the Jordan River. It was the first city God's people would encounter when they eventually stepped into the Promised Land, and it represented their first big challenge. Well, Joshua ever the wise military leader, sent two spies ahead to check out the situation inside that fortified city of Jericho. The spies needed to be stealth and discreet when they entered the city, of course, so they went in at night, and they kept to the darker areas of the city, shall we say. And that's where they found Rahab. We learn this in Joshua chapter 2, starting in verse 1. Then Joshua, son of Nun, secretly sent two spies from Shittim. "Go, look over the land," he said, "especially Jericho." So they went and entered the house of a prostitute named Rahab and stayed there. How Rahab had gotten to the point of becoming a prostitute really isn't that hard to understand. She was a single woman. She was raised in a pagan culture that completely devalued life. She was given no training, no opportunity to better herself, and she was desperately trying to provide for herself and her parents and family. Sounds like a recipe for a bad ending. But God had a plan for Rahab. She may have been desperate, but she wasn't stupid. Rahab took in the two spies. She happily discovered they weren't looking for her services. They wanted information on the situation within the city. Once Rahab learned these were spies from the Hebrew nation, the one that she'd heard about, how their God had performed miracles for them at the Red Sea and had sustained them in the desert, the one that she had seen outside her window, that great nation, she decided to trust that these men had been sent by a God far greater than the pagan gods of the Canaanites. The author of the book, Conquering the Fear of Failure, Lessons in the Life of Joshua, Dr. Erwin Lutzer, writes this in his book on page 55. What does surprise us is that God had already begun to work in the heart of Rahab. Though she had accepted the values of her culture, she would soon rise above it. This lady had an extraordinary future that she knew nothing about. God would use Rahab in overcoming the fear that paralyzed Israel 38 years earlier. From this one woman, the spies would receive all the information they needed to report back to their commander, Joshua. Well, we discover that Rahab had to hide the spies overnight on her rooftop under straw because Canaanite officials heard that there were some strange men around. They came to Rahab and, well, she lied in order to save the spies. Great risk to her own life had she been discovered. Now, was it right for her to lie? No. Is it right when we do? Does that mean Rahab is irredeemable? No. Does it mean that we are irredeemable? No. God could have chosen another way to protect Rahab and the spies had she told the truth. He doesn't need us to lie for him. Rahab's faith at that point, well, it was young and it was fragile. But she knew enough to know, as she herself proclaimed to those two spies and recorded in Joshua 2:11, "The Lord your God is God in heaven above and on earth below." That was enough for her to risk her life to help God's people. Dr. Erwin Lutzer says this in his book on page 56, "Let us commend Rahab for standing against the pagan culture of her day and choosing to help those whom she believed were sent by God. For all her sins, she was a woman of faith." Couldn't the same be said against us? And about us, yes, for all of our sins, that she is a woman of faith. We want that said about us, as it was said about Rahab, and rightfully so. But God wasn't done with Rahab yet. The spies made an agreement with Rahab to save her and her family when the eventual battle of Jericho would commence. So Rahab and her family were saved, even though all the other Canaanites were destroyed. She and her family were assimilated into the Hebrew culture. And how did the story end for Rahab? Oh, you're going to love this. Dr. Lutzer writes this in his book on page 63. Rahab did not have a Bible. She lived centuries before the prophet spoke and 1,400 years before John 3:16 was written. She never had a gospel tract. No one had ever prayed for her. Her faith was imperfect, for as we already noted, she lied. But in spite of that, she did believe. She did not hang on to her pagan religion and say, I'm staying with the people of my culture no matter what. What did God do for this woman? Her life was spared. Her dignity was also spared. Now, what dignity can a former prostitute have? Rahab married an Israelite named Salmon, and tradition says he was one of the spies. And remarkably, she appears in the genealogy of Christ, as written in Matthew 1:5. Not merely was she a former prostitute, but a Gentile prostitute, and yet, an ancestress of Christ. Most important, Rahab's soul was saved. She believed what she knew, and it was credited to her for righteousness. Oh, we love a triumph from tragedy story, especially from real life. And Rahab's real-life story gives us courage when we face our own times of challenge, when we think everything is against us and we have no hope. But with God, there is always hope. He is the God of the impossible, even for those like Rahab and like you and like me, with an imperfect faith, who trust in a perfect God. Well, thank you for listening, and I pray that you received a word from God today that will encourage you and equip you to do your work as unto the Lord. And if you'd like to participate in our weekly live First Things First Telebible Study Time, just email me, Beth@spiritofsuccess.com. Thank you, and God bless.